This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Memo to self: never get into Hightower window washing.
Oh, we will get to that. We're going to talk about dangerous jobs.
Poor guy.
Man, I don't know that there's one worse. Maybe alligator wrangling.
Well, the guys who have to climb all the way to the top of the cell phone towers and the windmill repairmen, those guys have
to. I think a lineman would, and not football, but like a electrical lineman.
Wichita. Working on Wichita. The line.
Wichita lineman. Are you talking about Glenn Campbell?
Yeah.
That's Wichita lineman.
I never knew what that song meant until you guys told me.
But the top of those cell phone tower guys, they have to go up there every 6 months.
Yeah.
And change out that light bulb.
So this
really?
Poor guy. And we might see if we can get KCFD to call in on this, because this really was an incredible rescue effort.
I want to get him to call in.
He is window washing, doing his deal at Kansas City's tallest building, which is One Kansas City Place on Main.
Okay. Is that the big square blue
the
building downtown?
He is between the 22nd and 23rd floor washing the windows when his, yes, favorite student in the front.
Doesn't nature do that naturally for you called rain?
No. Yeah, but rain leaves water spots.
He's a window washer. They tell him to get up there. That's what he does. He's a window washer.
But after you wash the window, the next time it rains, isn't it going to leave more water spots?
They call that job security.
Kansas City Battalion Chief Chad Daly says the worker's chair failed this morning, causing his equipment to, quote, bind up. That wasn't the only thing binding up.
No.
The worker was unable to go up or down the side of the building and was instead left dangling between floors 22 and 23. All right. Quoting here from fire: we deployed our rescue resources, other fire department personnel, EMS personnel, and oops, I crap my pants. They used drones and started the rescue. Santa Fe Glass, the glass company, was also called. We need to get Santa Fe. I love Santa Fe Glass in Old Overland Park. They were also called to the scene, and here's why. There were one of two ways to rescue this guy. You could pull him back to the 43rd floor on the top of the building, so all the way down from 23, somehow pulling him all the way up to 43.
Which would be roughly 20 floors.
Oh, God.
Or you could just cut the cord.
Really?
Sorry.
It's the quickest way down.
Wow.
Or
it's not the fault it hurts.
Cut through the window and pull him through the window. Rescue crews determined, let's get Santa Fe Glass out here and cut through the window. That is the safest option.
Really? That's what they went with?
So Santa Fe Glass removed the enormous glass panel on the 23rd floor. From there, they attached him to the, you know, rescue fire pulley. What do you call those little clips, Sam, that when you're rappelling? Yeah, those things.
Line?
No.
And hold him about 6 feet from floor 22 up to floor 23 and pulled him through.
How did they know that he was stuck? I'm assuming he had his cell phone or something on him. Oh, yeah, right, of course. Excuse me.
Help!
Hi.
Excuse me.
Madam Secretary, I'm stuck.
So sorry to bother your meeting. However, I'm going to need some sanitary wipes.
A new pair of underpants.
And a couple firefighters would be great.
In all reality, though, this guy makes his living hanging off the side of these buildings. I'm sure he didn't panic. He was probably like, oh, great.
You're actually right.
Now I can't move.
Fire says the whole operation took 30 minutes. And they say, quote, the worker was calm and comfortable during that situation. Quote, something not unusual for that occupation. Look, this guy needs some sort of award, and so do the fire crews in Santa Fe Glass for pulling him out. Because I think even if that's your job, you are always have that in the back of your mind that one of the things that can happen is that your chair, quote, malfunctions, and then you cannot...
Or gives way, God
forbid. And God forbid, you can't get up or down.
Yeah.
He probably was seasoned enough to know...
Soiled enough to know?
That even though the chair's not working, the ropes will.
Well, and yeah, you always have a second rope. You're not hanging from one rope. You're not just freeballing it like, oh, this is going to be great.
What did you just say? Did you just say freeballing?
Yes, he did.
Freefalling?
Let's go with free falling.
Just say free falling.
I know it. I don't know that we can say that. But we did.
I didn't even think
of that.
Let's go in
there, the Troy Aikman clips now.
Very, very popular.
Do you know what that is?
By
well, I know what it means in context,
Tom
but
Petty.
I wasn't using it in context.
Free ball.
Okay, then we don't need to repeat
right.
it. Let's
now
not
I'm
do
sweating.
That. Okay, we're fine.
No, I'm
so
was
the
win-
more worked so up than the guy who was dangling
so was
from the
window washer. What, be honest, what is a scarier job or something at least in that wheelhouse?
So we're taking firefighters, police, soldier out of it.
Take that out of it.
Because that would be a more dangerous job.
I want civilian jobs that right away you're like, nope, not doing that.
Roofer.
Okay. Yeah.
Because, you know, in my neighborhood, we had the storms come through a couple months ago. So everybody's getting their roofs replaced. These guys are up there at angles like that.
They are. And I'm not saying that's not scary. I would never for one second be up on anyone's roof, not even mine, for any reason.
Right.
But if you fall off a two-story roof, you're falling two stories. Theoretically, you can survive that. Whereas the window washer...
Oh, you're dead.
He's 23 floors above ground.
But I go back to my original
concrete.
Question. Why are we washing windows on skyscrapers? That's what Mother Nature does.
No, I think if you don't, they get filmy. Have we ever had window washers here? You've never seen them here?
No.
I'm actually, the phones are ringing. If you are a window washer, I don't know that we've ever talked to a window washer. Specifically, if you're a window washer who was, I don't know, dangling 23 feet up in the air. If you're that guy, we would love to hear from you.
If he's listening, I would love to talk to him. How do you get into that business where you're a window washer on a 45-story building?
And do they start you on a two- or three-story building, and then you slowly work your way up,
right.
and then over time it doesn't bother you to be? Are you also an alpinist?
I'm sorry?
You know, if you have to have no fear of heights to do that
Clearly.
Job.
You know, Spectre was asking me out in the newsroom. He said, would you rather clean out septic tanks or wash windows?
And we hadn't seen the story yet. We didn't even know what he was referencing.
It's terrible.
And I said, wash windows. But I have a horrible fear of heights.
Oh, you'd be dead in a minute. You would have a complete anxiety explosion.
Not fear of heights like if I'm in the Empire State Building on the roof where I'm enclosed. It's if I'm exposed.
Yeah.
If I'm dangling 23 stories up, I'd rather clean out a septic tank.
I rappelled off the side of Arrowhead Stadium, and once you're in the seat and comfortable, it's not that scary.
Oh, I can't believe you did that.
Really?
Yeah, you are in complete and total control of how fast you're moving. And the guy told me that's how I know there's a safety rope, and I won't use the other term that I shouldn't have used again. Because if even if the main rappelling mechanism, whatever they call that, fails, you're just hanging. Like, you will not fall.
Listen to the Reddit thread on window washers. It pays decent. It keeps me fit. I can swear on the job because there ain't nobody else around. Here's something else. The salaries need to be higher, and it is a male-dominated field.
Oh, I'm sure.
Why? There's also women out there that climb mountains and aren't afraid of heights.
It just seems more like a... I'm going to shut up.
Statistically,
they are
true.
Always statistically self-reliant. They work in two-man teams. Where is this guy's wingman?
On the other side? 913-586-7798. 913-586-7798. Dana Wright, Sam Stevie III. My name is Scott, here on KMBZ. tough news out of the NFL today. This is from the New York Post. Legendary NFL quarterback Brett Favre revealed he was recently diagnosed with Parkinson's disease while testifying at a congressional hearing on welfare misspending and reform earlier today. Said Favre, who is now 54 years old, sadly, I also lost an investment in a company that I believed was developing a breakthrough concussion drug I thought would help others. Blah, blah, blah. I'm sure you'll understand, while it's too late for me because I've recently been diagnosed with Parkinson's, this is also a cause dear to my heart. Parkinson's disease is a movement disorder of the nervous system that worsens over time.
Right. No cure. He was speaking to the Ways and Means Committee. And before we get into the bulk of the conversation here, are you a little surprised he dropped this bombshell in a congressional hearing? This is someone who does commercials, who is clearly very media savvy, who has been in front of cameras and microphones his entire mm-hmm. career. Mm-hmm. I was first shocked and saddened and taken aback and all of the things you do when you hear that someone has this diagnosis. But I was also a little surprised there wasn't some sort of announcement prior than no one pays attention to congressional hearings in the Ways and Means Committees unless you watch C-SPAN 2. And I think one person in America was watching and went, wait, what did Brett Favre just say?
Mm-hmm. He said during the testimony that he suffered, quote, thousands of concussions in his professional career. Now, is he exaggerating? Probably. He only played in 302 games. So how he?
But you are forgetting high school and college prior to the NFL.
But he said he suffered thousands in his pro career. So clearly he's exaggerating. But we get the point.
Well, maybe he's not. Realistically, I mean, how many hard hits did he take?
I agree.
Even a minor concussion is still a concussion.
Yeah, but he would have to get 3, 4, 5 concussions per game.
But here's what he says, Scott, and I agree with him. When you have ringing of the ears, you're seeing stars. That's a concussion, he told the Today Show. And if that's a concussion, I've had hundreds, maybe thousands throughout my career, which is frightening. It breaks my heart, but we know that this is a top risk for football players, for boxers. You mentioned mm-hmm. Muhammad Ali during the break to me. We know that this is, sadly, for some athletes, going to be the end result of those hits.
So I'm asking out of ignorance, are concussions a likely predisposer to Parkinson's disease?
Certainly in someone as young as Brett Favre.
54 years old. 54.
You know, that would be considered, Sam, would it not be considered early onset?
Clearly.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
So what do we do about it?
By the way, he played 321 games.
This goes right back to, you know, what do we know? How can we do better? When did we know it? All of those things. And I think even despite the best efforts recently to understand what concussions do to the brain in sports like football, but certainly not exclusive to football, I still think that there's an inherent risk, and the players now are more educated about it, but it's not going to stop a diagnosis like this.
But we're all in agreement, we'll never get rid of football.
Unlikely.
It is embedded in the American culture like nothing else. The players are not going to wear, what are those things called, Sam?
Oh, those ridiculous
guardian caps.
Helmets.
There's no way they're
12-pound padded.
There's no way they're going to wear the guardian caps. A, because of the weight. B, because they look like a nerd. Is this just something we have to accept? People are not going to stop playing football. There's way too much money. Patrick Mahomes, 10-year, $500 million contract. Probably most famous person in America other than the president. The money, the merchandise, the fans, the players.
But let me ask you this, and I will ask the parents of those who play, even if you play high school or college football. If you had said to Brett Favre 30 years ago, 40 years ago, you are going to have a career that most people could only dream of. It is going to bring you fame. It is going to bring you fortune. It's going to bring you heartache. Mm-hmm. It's going to bring you athletic achievement beyond your wildest dreams.
A Super Bowl win?
However, your life will be cut short because of it. And at age 54, you will be diagnosed with Parkinson's. If you had asked Brett Favre that 30 years ago and 20 years ago, would the Brett Favres of the world continue? Would they have continued to play?
I would argue 80 to 90% of them would say yes.
Yes.
Oh, absolutely.
The fame, the fortune, the Super Bowl ring.
Tua.
That's why I think he needs to get out.
Those hits have already happened, Scott.
And by the way,
so at some point, do you say as an athlete, and Sam, I'm asking you this too, because you're more of an athlete than we ever were.
Speak for yourself.
You know, Tua has known how long that his lifespan is likely going to be impacted by what has happened here.
I guarantee you he already notices a difference in his brain power.
Absolutely.
And so is there a point where you just say, look, this is the career that I've chosen. I can't put this genie back in the bottle. It's like sun damage that we did to ourselves at age 12 to 14. Like, I can't fix those choices that I made when I was 14 years old and putting baby oil on me and laying out on my parents' roof. Like, so let's throw caution to the wind now. I mean, when I'm 50, do I need sunscreen? Is it like that where you just think, look, I can't change the hits I've already had, so I might as well keep playing the sport that I love?
I'll tell you this. I know for a fact, and granted, I never played sports outside of high school, but I got hit so hard at football practice one time by Brian Reese. Thank you very little. He knocked me out. I know I was concussed, but this was back in the 80s, and it's rub some dirt on it and get back in there. I guarantee you the car accident,
the only time you were concussed.
The car accident had to be worth four concussions.
One on the way out the glass window, one on the way back in.
And then one on the way back out and back in again.
Yeah. That was a violent impact.
I guarantee you that car accident was worth four concussions. No doubt about it. You don't go through the window of a car at 40 miles per hour without knocking your brain around a little bit.
And with Favre, they didn't have the on-field in-game protections that they have with quarterbacks now. I mean, you have to basically lay the quarterback on the ground with a pillow.
Sam, wouldn't you have known? You would have known during his career, we were educated enough.
But you're a tough guy.
Yeah.
And I want to get back in that game. This is my team. I want to win.
Remember, it started with guys who didn't even wear anything on their head.
Truth. And then leather helmets.
When we've talked about football and CTE in the past, we certainly talk about rage. We talk about Aaron Hernandez. Mm-hmm. We talk about the suicides. I don't know that we've talked a lot about the other neurological impacts like Parkinson's, because he is the most high profile football player, certainly in our recent
diagnosed with Parkinson's. And we don't know, but we can guess that this was based on his playing career and the concussions he suffered. I would think he's probably the highest profile player. Yes. Yeah, for sure. Roger in Olathe.
Hi, Roger.
Hi, Scott. Hi, Dana.
Hi.
Hey, you guys know I was diagnosed with Parkinson's disease about 20 years ago when I was 35 years old, and I'm now 60. Well, I'll be 60 next year. But definitely, Barb would not be considered young onset because it's has to be 35 and younger, I believe.
What, 35 and younger?
Uh-huh. I was 35.
And Roger, how did you know when you were 35, how did you feel physically that led you to like something's not right here?
I was walking outside as if I had been exercising. My left arm would not swing.
Yeah.
And if you listen to Michael J. Fox, it was basically his thing too. His wife drove up by him and go, what the heck are you doing? Your arm's not swinging. So he said, Michael J. Fox had a group of friends. Every one of them came down with Parkinson's. So there's causes from environmental, there's causes from activities, there's causes all different kinds of causes. So Muhammad Ali in boxing, but there's tons of boxers that never get Parkinson's disease.
Have the doctors ever surmised what brought on your Parkinson's? Was it genetic? Was it something that happened to you earlier in life?
Well, I hit my head on the asphalt very hard, fell off a bike and hit my head on the asphalt with no protection. 2 years later, I fell off the living room couch, sassing my mother, and smacked my head again on the wooden floor. And from there on, at the age of 12, I started feeling weird. Like, things would look like they were at 45-degree angles and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And that's not normal. But, I mean, that's just something that was going on with me.
Hmm. Roger, thank you for your honesty.
Thank you for the call.
Yeah, do appreciate it. 913-586-7798. 913-586-7798.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Somebody asked on the text line, didn't Muhammad Ali have Parkinson's? And I believe the answer to that is yes.
That would run consistent with the theory. The Mayo Clinic says that one of the strongest indicators of a future of developing Parkinsonism is TBI and repetitive TBI.
Yep.
Reporting on this story from the New York Post, legendary NFL quarterback Brett Favre revealing today he was recently diagnosed with Parkinson's disease. He was testifying before the House Ways and Means Committee about the situation that went down at Southern Miss involving some money that was supposed to go towards people who were of lower income. And keep in mind, texters, he's never been charged nor convicted of a crime. Okay? And that has nothing to do with the diagnosis at all. But Brett Favre announcing today he's been diagnosed with Parkinson's disease. He is 54 years old. Rodney in Harrisonville. Rodney, hello.
Hey, how you doing today?
We're doing well, thank you.
So for a story that's closer to home, and I know you're going to have a lot of listeners that will remember, Michael Keck played football for Harrisonville High School.
Yep.
And he went on to MU and played there for a little bit, but then he left, and I think he went to Missouri State. And really nice kid. I knew him when he was junior high school kid. And nice kid off the field. He was a beast on the field. Had a very promising college career, but it was cut short. He obviously had suffered some hits and concussions, and then he suffered one, I think it was at Missouri State, that knocked him out, and that was it for his college career. He got out, and he, even though doctors had not pinpointed anything at the time, he had said, he told his wife and probably family, he knew that he was going to die from that, and he begged them to donate his brain once he was gone for studies, and they did that.
Rodney, real quick, do you remember during that time, and I remember Michael Keck's story, and God bless him and his family always, there were several local-ish athletes that went through this and had this happen, and a couple of them were junior college players, but I absolutely remember Michael Keck, and in fact, it's either that athlete, Scott, or think it was Garden City. I would have to go back and look.
I remember that one too.
Where in League of Denial, the documentary about concussions in the NFL and what did they know and when they know it, the local young man's brain is delivered to Boston College for them to study it. And I don't remember if it was Michael Keck or one of the other two young men, but there was a time in the Kansas City area we had a string. Mm-hmm. Of those cases.
So I'm reading a story here from CNN about Michael Keck. And yes, he suffered no fewer than 10 concussions, the first being when he was 8 years old. He began playing football at six. When he was a student in high school, he had a 3.8 GPA. So yep. Smart kid. Great athlete, smart kid. By the time the end of his college career, his GPA was a 1.9. And he dropped out 12 credits shy of graduating with his bachelor's. Cody in Shawnee. Cody, good afternoon. Hello.
Hey, guys. Hope you're well.
We are well. Thank you.
Say, there's a lot of good points that you guys are talking about on all this. It, you know, brings the head to point on some great things, because I had a friend of mine that played in the NFL for 14 seasons. And one of the, as he retired, he was signing his paperwork. And on the document, it stated that in order for him to receive his pension, that he had to sign this waiver saying he will not sue the NFL for any possible term when he gets older if he comes down with some mental illness, something to do with his brain or CTE, any of that. And that was they were literally holding his money from him to say, you know, well, if you plan to sue us down the road, then we won't give you your pension. But if you, you know, if you do not, well, then we'll sign this, you know, this paper, and you can receive your pension for life. And, you know, and quite frankly, his pension is more than what doctors make in a year. And so that, I remember that conversation he had with me of, do I do this or not? Because one, he said, I've already made a good chunk of money, but I don't have, I have to have private health care, you know, for the rest of my life. And so he said, what do I do, man? You know, so we had good conversations on that. And also to point out too, I just want to say that there are three phases of CTE. You know, with Junior Seau, he had the worst CTE, where his brain was mush.
Yep.
And then you also have like the kind of the pre-CTE or phase one, where you can kind of see a cloud happening. And I often wonder, of all of us who have played the game of football, whether from being a kid to going to high school to going to college, you know, and all of that, where is our brain at? That scares me, because I've been concussed too many times in my career, right, from high school to college, where that is scary.
Would you want to know, Cody?
I would, for the sake of my health and for the sake of my kids, because I want to be here, you know, for them. And so that, to me, is where we as former athletes, I think we really need to kind of face that. Maybe Brett knows, and just maybe this is his coming out.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I think a lot of us feel that, because a lot of us, that's that knock that we're waiting for. And quite frankly, that is scary, because we do feel it. And I do feel that sometimes as well. Like, I'll have a memory loss, and I'll just be like, what the heck was I just thinking? Or my kids will say, hey, Dad, you know, do you remember that? You just said this. And I'd be like, what?
Yeah. Like foggy sort of, Cody?
Foggy, just everything. And it's just, and also you had that one caller before that talked about the environment, right? The stuff that we have grown up in as well. I grew up in abuse. So my stepdad used to beat the crap out of me. And so I remember how, you know, when he would hit me in the head, how that was reminiscent to, hey, I have this feeling when I play football. Like, you know, in sixth grade, I was like, what the heck? I didn't know anything about it until obviously nowadays, right? I mean, so it is scary all around of what we have endured, you know? And I think we just need to have more conversations on this piece to help others.
All right. Cody, thank you for the call, man. Do appreciate it. Would you want to know in advance? You were predisposed to Parkinson's because of concussions? I would not.
I would at least want to know what to look out for.
Well, I've noticed that, like, over the years, you know, names that I think I should remember, I don't. I wouldn't call it memory loss per se.
But I mean, if you're going to have the anger portion of it, like through CTE, at least being able to recognize it as it's happening. Kind of like when you took steroids for the first time and didn't know about that side effect. And
oh,
you were
my
like,
God,
why am I so
awful.
Mad?
That was awful. Yeah, but I'm not a naturally angry person. I don't think anybody on this show is. I haven't noticed any of that. Then again, I don't think I have CTE either. Michael and Lenexa, hello.
Hey, you know, this is me. I'm 51 years old. Brain's getting a little foggy. got knocked around in football when I was in high school. One major concussion in eighth grade. But here's the thing, and I told Sam this. I've watched an interview with Brett Favre, and you can search it up. Brett Favre was asked in this interview, what was the big one? And Brett Favre responded by saying it wasn't the big one. It was all the little ones.
Yeah.
Never thought about it. Never thought about it. But I will tell you, the GPA was there in seventh grade. I could understand math. I could read. I loved reading. After that, I became angry. I couldn't read. Everything was falling apart as I tried to read it. Math, couldn't figure it out at all. And so all of that to say this, probably a great portion of the listeners, male and female, have had this. Pay attention to it. Mental health is real. Get some help. Yeah. Get your finger on the pulse. Do your support network. I'm medicated. I'm a vet, medicated to the VA to help me with the anger. Man, I mean, reach out for help. I mean, somewhere, somehow.
Michael, thank you, man.
Thank you for your service. Thank you for the call.
913-586-7798. Dana Wright, Sam Stevie III. My name is Scott Parks here on KMBZ. Story here from NBC News, and this is a quote from the county sheriff. Community members should exercise extreme caution and not approach the bull. Officials captured a runaway bull in southern Massachusetts late yesterday.
Wait a minute, there were eight of them, I thought. I thought it was eight.
There were, but there was one that was a little wily, if you will.
They were able to capture the first seven very quickly, and yeah.
The eighth one wasn't having it.
That's right.
Come and get me.
The one that got away.
After a herd of the animals jumped a fence at a rodeo event on Sunday.
Okay.
North Attleboro Fire Department said Monday on Facebook that the last remaining bull in the group of eight who jumped the fence at a rodeo event had finally been corralled.
Could we, you know, no one got hurt, and we can say all of the platitudes and things right here about that, but
thankfully no one got hurt.
Why would anyone think it would be a good idea to bring eight bajillion-pound raging bulls to a mall? This was at the Emerald Square Mall, and if you look at the video, Scott.
That is correct.
Picture Oak Park Mall's parking lot. And then you have...
Go, boys, yeah, go!
You have eight... This looks like the running of the bulls in Spain if you plopped it down in Oak Park Mall's parking lot. Whose brilliant idea was this? And look at the bulls going. They're like, they gone. See, and they just take off toward the highway.
Come on, Timmy, follow me. I know where I'm going.
There's this, like, one guy that's like, should we go? Maybe... Does anyone have a rope? Does anyone have a rope?
Mm-hmm.
They were on the lam a day and a half. No pun intended.
Well, why would that one be a pun?
A day and a half.
The guy that was last caught was 3 miles from the mall.
Well, they can run, Scott. That's why they called it the running of the bulls in Spain.
Oh, my God.
What?
Just a lot of cheap puns.
Is it true, and I'm looking this up right now, that the way you get a bull to buck is they tie the strap around their you-know-whats and then tighten it right before they open the gate?
I think either way, they're angry and don't want to be in the situation that they are in.
A flank strap is tied loosely around the bull's waist area.
Which is also where his...
Chris Mooney told the NBC station that he had seen the bulls heading down his street in nearby Attleboro, which is 40 miles south of Boston. As soon as I stepped out, I looked in the street and I go, oh my God, those aren't horses. Those are literally bulls. Oh my God. Two of them were laying down, he says. Another one was budging the fence trying to get out, and the other ones were just sitting there.
Laying down? Were they taking a nap?
Yes! They ran 3 miles!
Huh. Okay. Speaking of bulls, the man accused of contaminating food at the Leawood Hereford House between March 26th and April 25th waived his preliminary hearing today. Court proceeding that determines if there is enough evidence to go to a criminal trial. Jace Hansen appeared in court for about 15 minutes. His attorney said he would plead not guilty to all 33 charges against him. Hansen will try to reach a plea agreement within the next 60 days. Hansen accused of contaminating food during his brief time as an employee at the Hereford
House. Does he know that he already allegedly admitted to doing all of these things, allegedly to detectives?
Yes, but you have to plead not guilty
allegedly
in order to get a plea agreement.
Videos on his phone, allegedly.
Okay.
I think it's worth mentioning that we also have a looming execution in the state of Missouri for which the prosecutor in the case has said this man is innocent and your governor in Missouri has taken a hard pass on any sort of clemency in this case.
So we'll get to that in the 4 o'clock hour of the program today. Marcellus Williams is scheduled to be executed in 3 hours from now. He was convicted in the killing of a woman, I think about 24 years ago, if I'm not mistaken, roughly, has long maintained his innocence. Yes, his attorneys, of course, and now the office of the prosecutor that convicted him are asking for this case to be overturned. And
why do we suck so bad in Missouri when we get it so wrong at righting the wrong, where anyone that's a politician just digs their heels in the sand and says, I don't care. I don't care that everyone says this man should be released and he didn't do it. I'm not stepping in. Mm-hmm. I don't understand why it is so hard to save someone's life when you hold the power to do it, when everyone around you is saying this man is innocent.
I would say that there are two names that you need to remember. Attorney General Andrew Bailey and Governor Mike Parsons.
They have fought other cases
they fought,
we know it's actual innocence.
They fought Kevin Strickland. They fought against the release of Kevin Strickland, who it was proven and known did not commit those three murders.
It's something about not wanting to tarnish the reputation of the office.
But the office that made the original case, Sam, in all of these cases, it was 30 years ago.
I would completely agree with you.
50 years ago, 40 years ago.
Your reputation is tarnished by keeping innocent people behind bars.
I'm not saying it's a logical approach.
But you're right. It reminds me of people who cannot admit their wrong.
We're asking you to fix someone else's mistake,
right?
A grave mistake. We're asking you to fix someone else, clean up someone else's crap. It's not even your mistake.
Now,
why would you not clean it up?
Now, in regards to Marcellus Williams, he has one chance left, and it's with the U.S. Supreme Court. Good
luck.
The U.S.
Supreme Court never, ever,
very rarely
flips these.
That is correct.
I will tell you, we have an update coming up at 5 o'clock. We will be speaking with the workers that cut through some glass and saved the life of a local window washer.
Did you get them?
23 Did I get them? 23 floors above ground.
They looked at the glass and said, well, that's a pain.
Wow.
Speaking of that, we will have Terrible Joke Tuesday coming up at 3:45 this afternoon. Yes, Terrible Jokes in 45 minutes from now, not now.
I don't know that we need another one after that one.
Wow.
Come on, that was wicked good.
That was not good. That was terrible. News with Dan Weinbaum.
Terrible.
Yeah, it was. News with Dan Weinbaum coming your way in 2 minutes. Sam Stevie III, Dana Wright. My name is Scott here on KMBZ.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.